hell. You know, because it is hot in hell. It's not hot out here, folks. We may say it's hot and I'm burning up. Listen, but it is hot in hell. And I'm glad we're saved. We're not going. Amen. And that's why we're here tonight. We want everybody to go. We come to church to learn more about the Lord so we'll be more effective out in this world telling people about Jesus, because we don't want anybody to die and go to hell. And the good thing tonight, are we live? We're live streaming tonight. And that's a great thing. And thank you, Lee, for everything you do. And thank you, Bobby and Sheila and everybody. It's hard to, you know, to say thank you to everybody, each individual, because there's so much that takes place in the church to make things nice for us all. And we just come together and worship the Lord, and we just thank Jesus. Amen. Because without him, we could do nothing. But I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad that the Lord led you here, and that's who leads us here is the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm thankful that prayer meeting is still available in many, many churches. We need it. This is when we get refueled. You know, you got Saturday and Sunday, you know, you go to church and you get just filled up and ready to go. And then by Monday and Tuesday, you get back out in the world. And there's so much, you know, that we go through in life. The old devil is always trying to tear us down and discourage us. And then all of a sudden, there's Tuesday, and then there's Wednesday morning. You're not doing very well. And then all of a sudden, you get to come to prayer meeting. And you get filled up, amen. And I tell you, if you come to prayer meeting, you'll be less grumpy that week, amen. You'll be more spiritual. You'll be less grumpy, and you'll be less aggravated, because I know it helps us to come to the house of the Lord. So I love you tonight. Take your Bible. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. And what's taking place here, Peter is talking about his death. He talks about, you know, dying. And what he's talking about here, when he talks about his death, he also talks about the people that had gotten saved before, and that they would continue on to live the gospel and to share their faith with others. We're going to look at some things tonight. And look at verse 12. You see the word wherefore. You see that? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I want to call your attention to that word, wherefore. I learned a long time ago, when you see the word therefore, you find out why it's therefore. Why is it there? And wherefore means to look back. Wherefore means to look back and see what's been taking place. And look at verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, that word meet means necessary or important or valuable. He says, I think it's valuable as long as I am in this tabernacle. Now he's talking about his life. The tabernacle, it's his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He's talking about his death, but he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to call things to your remembrance. And look what he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Talking about his death. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. But we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we were made known unto you, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory. For there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. That is the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured actually as the King of Kings, and they saw his glory. Can you imagine? Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah, they were there. They heard the voice of God. "This is my Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Look at this. It says, when they were in the holy mountain, in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, for unto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing first that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." You ought to mark that. The Bible didn't come by the will of man. God used men. Amen. God used them. It says, "But holy men," I love this, "for the prophecy came not in the time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I like that. You can be seated. I want us to basically look at three things tonight. In verse 12, I want to call your attention that and see that Peter had a purpose in his life. He was about to die. He's talking about leaving the tabernacle. He's talking about leaving and going to heaven. But still, even as he was thinking about his death, he was talking about his life's purpose. You know, when Peter got saved and God called him to preach, he knew that was something that was going to be everlasting. That wasn't going to be just something that he would do for a month or a week or something and then give it up. And he knew that it was something that God wanted him to do. God had called him to do, and he was in it for the long haul. And that's what we need to do as servants of God. You know, when I surrendered to preach, I knew very little about preaching. I knew very little about the Bible, actually. And the more I studied, it seems like I know less and less. Amen. This is a big book, I'm telling you. Never say that somebody tells you something. Don't you say that's not in the Bible, because it could be. Amen. We don't know it all. And the thing about it is, you know, when we get saved, we have a guarantee of grace. It's a guarantee. Peter understood the guarantee of God's grace, and he understood God's grace in his calling to the ministry. He was thinking about these people that he had been preaching to and those that had gotten saved, and he was worried about their well-being. He was concerned about their well-being even after he was going to die. But he knew that the Lord would take care of them as well. Well, as I said, wherefore looks back to all that came before. You know, these people in that we're talking about who came to faith in Christ, they had been told of the guarantees of grace. They had been given teachers or guides to guide them in their Christian life. You know, the Bible says that God has given some teachers and preachers and pastors an evangelist. Why? To edify the church. To teach the church the Word of God. And those are gifts. Those are gifts that God has given the church. But Peter commits their life, or commits his life, to their development as Christians. And see, that's what a pastor does. A pastor, he gives his life. He gives his life, not just for a little while, but his entire life, to help develop the people that God has put in his path to pastor. And I'm really concerned about people when it comes to their development in their Christian life. I want people to grow. I want them to grow. I want them to glow, and I want them to go. Amen. Yeah, that's what you want. You want them to grow. You want them to glow with Jesus. And then you want them to go tell somebody what God has done for them. Well, this is awesome, because he was determined. I love the Apostle Peter. I mean, he was a lot of times he would speak before he'd think. Just like most of us. I mean, his jaw and his tongue would be going faster than his brain. And it got him in trouble. It got him in trouble with the Lord. And, you know, the thing about it is, we're just like him. But we can learn a lot from the Apostle Peter. He was a great man of God. He was a powerful man of God. After the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers, you see a tremendous difference from the disciples and the apostles before Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came and empowered them, I'm going to tell you something. Peter was not a coward anymore. At one time, he was a coward. He let a woman, deny the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman influenced him and said, she said, you're one of those Christians. And he said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And three times he denied. He was a coward then. But when he was filled with the Spirit of God, he became the most powerful preacher. Thousands of people got saved. 3,000 one time got saved, 5,000 got saved at once, and he was a powerful man. And, Jesus told Peter how he would die. He would die. And Peter knew that. He knew that he would die. And he was talking about his death. But did you know, I don't know if you've ever looked these up, the way the apostles and some of the disciples died. Have you ever looked at that? Some was, Peter was crucified upside down. Have you ever heard that? He was crucified. They were going to crucify him just like they did Jesus. History tells us that Peter told them, don't crucify me like that. I'm not worthy to die like that. And they say that history says that they crucified him upside down. Mark, he was filleted. That means the meat, the skin, was cut off his body. You can search that. They died horrible deaths for the Lord Jesus, and it puts us to shame. I've got a few copies. I gave Raymond. I think I gave you one of Fox's Book of Martyrs. I got a few copies left if you'd like to take. It's a pretty good sized book. But if you want to look in there and see how your brothers and sisters died for the cause of Christ, I'm going to tell you something. It will open your eyes to what people went through for the cause of Christ. But I want us to look at three things. I want you to look at verse 12. Peter had a purpose in life. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent. You see that word? Oftentimes, we as church folks, and we become negligent in our life, negligent and what God wants us to do. I was reading the other day how the Word of God, did you know the Bible says that the cares of this life can choke the Word of God when it comes to your life? And I think a lot of people, they let the cares of life just overwhelm them, and it's choked the Word of God. They're just not getting the Word of God because of the cares of this life. And Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent. I like that. I like that determination. I like that purpose. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Well, what he's saying there, folks, he's saying, I'll be faithful. That's one thing we can all do just alike. There's a lot of things in the church that you can't do. A lot of things. You know, we can't give the same. We give with our heart, but we can't give the same. You know, a lot of people in church, they can't preach. A lot of people can't teach. A lot of things we do different to make the church function the way God wants it to. But one thing we can do equally, we can be faithful. We can be faithful. And I find out in the church age that we're living now, the church age of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. We're living in that day, lukewarm. Negligence, the cares of this life, just are strangling the church. And it shouldn't be. But Peter said, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep instructing the people that he had preached to and the souls that had been saved. And he was concerned about their Christian growth. And he said, you know, I'm not going to be negligent in that. I take that very seriously. And he was talking about his death. He said, I have a purpose. I have a purpose in my life, even right up to the grave. You never get too old to serve Jesus. You never get too sick to serve Jesus. Amen. You keep serving the Lord even on your deathbed or in the hospital. You never get too sick to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You never get too tired to serve Jesus. Amen. If you don't look at it that way, you'll become negligent in your walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, he said, I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep reminding you of God's grace. I'm going to keep reminding you of God's love. I'm going to keep reminding you of God's forgiveness. He said, you know, yes, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm probably going to die soon. But I'm just going to be faithful. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to keep instructing the people that I've preached to and they got saved and they're growing in the Lord. I know I may be on my deathbed, but I'm going to be faithful to them. Faithful. Faithfulness. That's one thing we've lost in the church. Faithfulness, loyalty. Loyalty, no loyalty anymore. Nobody's, you know, it is just being faithful and loyal to somebody. Just being who we ought to be as Christians. Have we not learned? We've heard it for years, haven't we? But some people just don't get it. They don't get it down deep in their heart. But I'm thankful that Peter had a purpose even before he was going to die. I like that. And I prayed this afternoon as I was studying this, Lord, help me to be that faithful to my family. Help me to be that faithful to my church. Help me to be loyal to them. Help me till the day I die. I don't know, that inspired me this afternoon to be a better pastor, better Christian, better person. Peter on his deathbed said, I'm going to keep the mind of you. Amen. I'm going to keep reminding you how good God is. I hope that you have that purpose in your life. But listen to me. The second thing, Peter had persistence. He was nearing death. But in verse 14, look at his persistence. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. You see his persistence? He just said, I'm just going to be persistent. I'm just going to, you know, Peter, as I said, denied the Lord, and he fell, but he didn't stay down, did he? You see, the fall is something that we all do, one way or the other. We fall, we let the Lord down, we let people down. But the thing about it, when we fall, we can either stay down or we can get up and make things right. Amen. To make things right, we got to say, I'm sorry. Just tell people, you're sorry. I messed up. I'm sorry. And people will understand that. But if they don't, that's their problem. It's not yours. But let me show you something else. He was persistent. The third thing I want you to see is that he had a positive view of the future. Look at verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. I was thinking this afternoon, what am I going to leave behind? When I die, what am I going to leave behind? Well, you would say everything. That's true. But what kind of influence am I going to leave behind? Am I going to leave Christian people that are growing in the Lord? I hope so. I hope if I was to die tonight that you would go on and you would serve the Lord. And grow, keep growing in the Lord. Keep digging in the Lord. Digging in the Word of God. I like this statement. It says, no matter how far we walk in the valley of the shadow of death or how long we linger there, one thought should occupy our minds. How is God using our situation to touch others? You want me to read it again, don't you? Some of you that are asleep, listen to this. No matter how far we walk in the valley of the shadow of death or how long we linger there, one thought should occupy our minds. How is God using our situation to touch others? That's when God works. God don't work a lot when things are going well. But when things are falling apart, when things aren't going well, when you are angry because of you're going through something that you don't understand, stop for a moment and say, you know, what's God trying to do? How's God using this situation in my life to help others? That work in their life. I read something today that just overpowered my spirit. Someone said, you know, Christianity is more than loving Jesus. Christianity is also loving the Judas that's in your life. Wow. Whoa! Who is the Judas Iscariot in your life that has betrayed you, that you've been angry with, that you've been trying to get even with?
would have loved.
The Judas Iscariot of God. That is Christianity. That's what Peter is talking about. He believed that the people that he would leave behind would grow and be mature and get along with each other and have good business meetings like we do, amen. Amen. You know, he had a purpose, didn't he? Isn't that awesome? He had persistence in his life. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. Who wrote the third one down? Anybody? What is it? Posture. Amen. I knew it. I just checked it on y'all. Why don't you stand with me tonight? One of these days we're going to come to the end of our life. I hope that all of us have what Peter had. Now it took him a long time to get that. He didn't get that overnight. He got a lot of whoopings from the Lord. A lot of them. You don't get that kind of spirit just overnight. It takes years of love. It takes years, actually, of failure. Even our failures, the Lord can take and use them for His glory. Peter matured as a man of God, powerful man of God. He was so powerful, listen to me. When he walked down the street in the book of Acts, he walked down the street and the sick would be on the side of the road. When Peter's shadow touched the sick, they were well. His shadow, he was powerful. He was chained and an angel let him loose. And that night as he was going out of the gate, listen, Peter was so powerful, they had about 100 or more Roman soldiers chained to him. But an angel came in and set him free, and he walked right out. And when he got to that gate, he didn't have to open the gate. The gate said, come on out, Peter. You know why that happened? Let me tell you why that happened. Because the church was praying for him. In a house down the street, there was a woman named Rhoda, and she was in there praying, and they were having prayer meeting. And Peter walks up to the door, knocks on the door. She comes to the door and slams the door in his face. Peter's out there. No, he's not. It's Peter. He's loose. No, it's not Peter. Isn't that something? Praying, and it happens, and we think, well, how'd that happen? Amen. I think some of us, really, I believe this, some of us, one of these days, we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to look around and say, where are we? Amen. Let's sing, brother.
I need thee every hour.
You come as the Lord leads. I don't know what you need in your life tonight, but I guarantee you, Jesus is right here.
I need thee every hour.
You come to Him.
Most gracious.
You come to Him. I can't help you. But Jesus can help you. I guarantee you. He can help you. He can redeem you. He can save you.
I need thee, oh,
he can guide you in your life.
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
just be faithful to the Lord.
I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Tell temptations lose their power when thou art nigh.
Amen.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, grant me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thy blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
And all God's people said,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love you. Have a good rest of the week. I'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. But Sunday night, I'm going to be in revival. I'm looking forward to that. It's a little church called Walnut Grove up in Butler County, way up there. The church is up there. They've got about 26, 27 churches, but they're scattered out miles and miles in the church. And but Walnut Grove, I know the pastor. And matter of fact, he rides, folks rides with us. Stoney Hildebrand. But great Christian couple, and somebody look forward to that. But I'll be here Sunday morning, okay? All right. Love you guys. Big D. This message, brother.